Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to you all. It's truly a pleasure to be back here in Columbia with brethren of like minds. Really missed you. The title of today's sermonette is Know Your Bible. Know Your Bible. The Bible is a book of infinite knowledge. It weaves together the past, the present, and what takes place in the future. Today, brethren, just for a moment, I would like for us to think about a question. Just how well do we know our Bibles? God's instruction in this holy book unlocks keys to prophecy. It gives his plan of redemption for mankind. It gives instructions and illustrations on how to live a godly life. This is the one book that we cannot afford to push to the side or forget about. I remember on numerous occasions as a small child, my father was watching the World Tomorrow program. And all of a sudden, you would hear a closed fist hit a desk. Boom. And the voice of Mr. Armstrong proclaimed so boldly, and I quote, "Blow the dust off your Bible." While we still have an opportunity, brethren, we must take advantage of the free access into the mind of God. The Bible is more than just a book. It is a living word that has an eternal impact. According to GuinnessWorldRecords.com, the Bible is the world's best-selling and most widely distributed book of all time. Many people have them in their homes, in their vehicles. Some even have some on their jobs. It seems like there is a real thirst for knowledge out there, but yet so many do not take time to truly engage in what it has to offer. A few weeks prior to the Day of Atonement, I had to remind my departmental manager, as I often do, that I would not be coming to work on that Monday, September the 28th, because it was a high day, an annual Sabbath. And I often have to do this because prior to the feast last year, he didn't pay me, so I wanted to make sure I got paid. So, as we instructed in 1 Peter 3 and 15, be ready to give an answer, and every man that asks of you a reason for the hope that's within you, meekness and fear. So I gave a quick impromptu summary. I then expressed to him, if he wanted to know more, feel free to talk to me anytime. He hasn't said too much to me since then, but maybe, who knows, a seed has been planted in fertile soil. But only time would tell. My purpose in sharing this with you, brothers, is because of my joy and thankfulness to the Most High God for being equipped with that little bit of knowledge that I retained and was able to share with him. This, along with a few other occasions where I was able to share my faith, it prompted me to examine my own biblical understanding. You know, I often think about Philip and the eunuch. You know, the eunuch was probably a Gentile proselyte because the scriptures tell us he was in Jerusalem for worship. But as he was leaving Jerusalem, an angel came to Philip and told him, stop his chariot, join his chariot, overtake his chariot. And eunuch, he was reading from the scrolls of Isaiah. I don't know if it was all the complete scrolls, but he was definitely reading from Isaiah. And he was reading from Isaiah 53:7-8. And he really didn't understand what he was reading. So Philip, being equipped with that knowledge, he was able to explain it. And clear in more terms, where later on the Ethiopian eunuch ended up getting baptized, which is a tremendous miracle in itself. So today, brethren, I would simply like to share a few thoughts with you. Are we content with our biblical understanding at this point, January 2nd, 2021? What if an individual didn't quite understand how we arrived at the date of Pentecost? And why does it fall continually on a Sunday? Could we explain? Can we recite the Ten Commandments in order? And or long form? Can we expound on Christ from strictly nothing, using nothing but the Old Testament? Do we have enough general knowledge to explain God's ways in a manner that is a little more clear and more concise? Or are there times that we need to revisit certain passages in the Bible for refreshment? I think these are valid questions that we all can ask ourselves at some point, or have asked ourselves at some point in our lives. Brothers, I would like to share with you a story that I found on the internet by Kerry Scott, from an unknown author who should receive the credit. Now, I diligently tried hard to find this person, but I could not. Once upon a time, there was a church without a pastor. The board of the church had interviewed several prospective ministers, but so far none were of their liking. Some were too bold, some were too quiet, some were too harsh, and some were just frankly not good looking enough. The last prospect stood before the board. His name was Sam. One of the board members asked Sam if he knew his Bible. Sam replied, "I sure do. I know my Bible from cover to cover, from generations to revolutions. When someone asked him in which part of the Bible he liked best, Sam answered, the book of parables. The board members exchanged glances. Then one of them asked which parable he liked best, and Sam replied, I like the parable of the Good Samaritan best. The board asked Sam if he would tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And here's the way Sam told it. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he fell among thieves. And thorns grew up and choked him. He didn't have money, and the Queen of Sheba came along and gave him 1,000 talents and 100 changes of raiment. He got in a chariot and rode furiously along. And as he rode, his hair got caught on the limb of a tree, and he hung there for many days. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. Finally, Delilah came along and cut off his hair, and he fell on stony ground. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. So he went and hid himself in a cave, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And as he returned to Jerusalem, he saw an old hen trying to gather her chicks, but not all of them would come. He went a little farther and met a man who asked him to have supper with him, but he said, I can't. I'm married, I must go see my wife. But he compelled him. So they ate supper with him, and they had locusts and wild honey. When she laughed, he said, fling down Jezebel. They flung her down 70 times 7. And of the fragments, they picked up 12 baskets. Now in the judgment, whose wife is she going to be? The board members smiled at one another and dismissed Sam. The time had come for them to cast their votes for the best candidate for the pastor of their church. They reflected on each individual they had interviewed. And when the votes were tallied up, it was unanimous. Sam was the new pastor of that church. He met all their qualifications, and the most important thing is he knew his Bible from cover to cover. The story may sound ridiculous, but I just wanted to use it to drive home a point. We must continually grow daily in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we do not continue to grow, then what good does God, what need does he have for us? If we're not making every effort to grow, how can God use us? It is for our great benefit that we take heed and absorb as much as we can out of the Bible. It can truly help us find peace, hope, and avoid deception. The Bible tells us, if possible, false Christs and false prophets would deceive the very elect. Brother, here he is talking about you and I. We cannot gain back a single day that has passed. We cannot gain repossession of time. Time is not on our side. In these latter days, there should be a sense of urgency among God's people. So what should we be doing? Brother, if you would, please turn me to Ephesians 5. And 15, and we'll be read verses 15 and 16. That's Ephesians 5, chapter 5, and verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Brethren, are we not being prepared for something greater? Did not Christ say he would make us kings and high priests in his eternal kingdom? Brother, I really believe and truly believe this is my personal opinion. It would displease God greatly if we were to have an ongoing life of a lukewarm type of character, because that is not what he is trying to build in us. Let's take a look at how God views those who live a life of biblical stagnation or spiritually non-productive. So, brother, if you would, please turn with me to Hebrews 5 and 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. That's Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. If everyone's there. For by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Brethren, we must make every effort to partake in solid food. In conclusion, brethren, let me share my own shortcomings with you. I really believe we sometimes that's what we need to do as brethren, share some of our own shortcomings. I feel it necessary, so maybe someone might be encouraged. For a while, it was very hard for me to get quality Bible study in. Many days I would get off work and it would be dark. My whole day seemed like it just going in a flash. Sometimes I'll be so exhausted after working anywhere from 10 to 16 hours on certain days. I felt and I knew I was not growing spiritually. Oftentimes, I would definitely make an effort to try to do Bible study, but I would often find my times falling asleep with the Bible in my hand and my wife waking me up saying, baby, go to bed. I had a real problem just trying to fit not just Bible study, but quality Bible study time in my schedule. Building that true relationship with our Father in Heaven and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. The long hours at work were quickly affecting me, and it was quickly affecting what should be my top priority. I quickly learned that whatever we put first in our lives will most definitely demand the most attention. I remember talking to Mr. Preston one day, and he gave me a brief synopsis of his daily routine and how he incorporates his Bible study. I also talked to Mr. Richard Boss, and I got some advice from him. And even though a morning routine would not work for me, consider the time that I go to work in the mornings, 3 a.m., 5 a.m., sometimes 1, I was proud to say that I was able to adopt a policy or a schedule that was fit my lifestyle. And I don't know why that light didn't go off in my head. I was just so consumed with work. But I eventually just started coming home. As soon as I shower, I immediately put that Bible study in before I eat, before I lay down, before I cut that TV on. And that's what I do. That's what works for me. It may not work for you, but we must make every effort to incorporate or modify whatever you have to do to get that quality time. Because he's watching us. He definitely is. So may you be encouraged and stay focused on what you are being trained for. Let us show ourselves approved with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, through whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever.